Hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning into this message. We hope that it speaks to your life. And if you have questions, please contact us. You can contact us on the website, 1000hillsranchchurch.com or 1000hillsranchchurch@yahoo.com. And then you can also call us at 580-216-6427. And may God use this message to change your life. Well, today I want to start out by talking about, I want you to watch this video. You watch this video, and here's what I want you to do while you watch this video. I want you to count how many maneuvers that you think are taking place as this guy rides his horse. How many maneuvers? This is a reining horse. Watch this. All right. How many of you guys have ever seen a reining pattern before? Anybody seen a reining pattern, gone to a reining show? Well, those of you that haven't, you just saw one of the best reiners in the world. His name's Sean Flaherty. He's pulling up to next to $5 million riding a horse. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of money for riding a horse. And he does a great job. But here's the thing. In a reining pattern, you can find reining patterns in a lot of classes of events. You've got the reining, obviously, where they just do a reining pattern. Then you got the working cow horse, where they do a reining pattern, and then they chase that calf down the fence, you know, and turn him back. Then you have the ranch horse competitions, where they do the same thing. They'll have a reining pattern, and then they'll have to work a cow on one end, and then they'll have to rope a calf and pull it off. Well, the reining is a part of a lot of these different events. And there's four characteristics in the reining, or four things that are in the reining. First of all, you have to have a horse, right? Can't do the reining without a horse, right? Is Callie in here? Where's Callie at? Callie, where's Cooper? Callie, Cooper, all these guys right up here, the hunters, they ride reining horses. If you want to learn more about reining horses, they ride reining horses. Callie's actually Miss Princess, right? Winoka? Is that right? Give it up for Callie. She won it. But here's the thing. In the reining, you have to have four different things. You have to have a horse. Now, that horse needs to be broke, right? I mean, it needs to be soft. It needs to be supple. It needs to be able to go with the flow. It needs to be able to answer the cues and be responsive to the rider. Then you have to have the rider, right? You got the horse, you got the rider. The rider is on board to guide the horse through the pattern. Now, here's the thing. The horse doesn't have to know the pattern, right? I mean, if you were to let your horse just loose in the arena and think it was going to run the pattern, it wouldn't. It'd probably go over in a corner and poop or something. You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. If you are going to be in the reining, you have to have a horse and you have to have a rider. The third thing that you have to have are judges. The bloody judges. Why do we got to have judges? But the judges are there, and their judges are educated. They're trained in the reining patterns. They know the reining patterns. And here's what happens. And I'm not an expert in reining, but here's what I understand about it. When you get into a reining pattern, at least in the reining class, you start out with a 70 score. Okay, you start out with a 70 score, and there's probably three judges. Each of them start out with a 70. When they do a good maneuver, they get pluses. When they do it bad, they get minuses. All right? So the judge is there to judge, and they add all three scores up, and that's how you get a score. Now, here's the fourth thing, and this is what I want to concentrate on today. The fourth thing is this. You have to have a pattern. If you're going to be in a rain, if you're going to be in a reining, you just don't make up your own pattern. Like, hey, watch this. I'm going to make my own pattern up. No, they pick the patterns for you. Does anybody know how many reining patterns there are? How many? Hunters? 12. There was 11. You're right. There was 11. In 2011, they changed it and they added one more pattern for the 10 and under so that the 10 and under can run a pattern. So there's 12. Now, here's the thing. The pattern is chosen, again, by a committee or by the judges. And there's eight. How many maneuvers did you count? Anybody have a number? What's that? I'm sorry, I gave it away. How many did you have before I said it? Huh? Eight? Forget it. There are eight maneuvers. There's probably 8 to 12 maneuvers in a reining pattern. And I'll give you those eight real quick. First of all, you saw circles, right? That horse was running in circles. Then you saw, and when that horse got back to the middle of the arena, you saw a flying lead change. In other words, he's going this way, and then when he gets to that halfway point, he lead changes and he goes the other way. So you saw a flying lead change. You saw a rundown where he goes to one end of the arena, and then he runs down the other end of the arena and he slides to a stop. You saw a stop. You saw a backup. You saw what they call a rollback, and I'll explain that in a little bit. Then you saw spins. How many of you guys have a horse that spins like a top? Anybody got one? A few of you guys do. You saw spins, and then here's something that maybe you didn't notice, the most subtle thing that they judge, the pause. Your reining pattern people know that when you actually get through with doing your spins, you're supposed to pause, and then you start back the other way and you do your spins. Those are the maneuvers that every reining pattern must have. Now, here's the thing. Usually in a reining pattern or in a reining class, they run a pattern for the preliminaries, and then they run a different pattern for the finals. Now, here's the thing. Here's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about the patterns of life. The patterns of life. Now, listen. Some of you guys are right. You're running a pattern that maybe isn't according to God's will. Some of you guys are right in the middle of God's will, and you're running a pattern that obviously glorifies God. Well, here's the thing. I want to answer these three questions today. First of all, what is our role in the patterns of life? Second, what is God's role in the patterns of life? And third, what do we do when God changes the pattern? How many of you guys hate it when God changes the pattern? Come on now, be honest. Yeah, it's okay. Sometimes I get ticked off when God changes the pattern. Well, here's the thing. I want to share with you a little bit of a story from the Bible that has to do with two characters, actually three later on. Anybody remember Joseph and Mary? I mean, Joseph's the father of Jesus, stepfather of Jesus. Mary's the mother of Jesus. And listen to their little story, and then I'm going to explain it a little bit. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Starting in verse 18 through 21, it says this. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from sins. That's a great little story right there. And again, I want to recap it. Here you got Joseph, right? I mean, Joseph's just a good old boy. I mean, he's a God-fearing man. He's a good man. And he wants to marry Mary, right? He wants to marry her. He wants to have a family with her. He's got it all planned out. He's asked her dad. I mean, all that stuff's taking place. And then the pattern changes. What does Joseph notice? He looks at Mary and he's thinking, man, have I been feeding her way too much? Because she's showing. And he notices that Mary's showing. And I'm just kind of ad-libbing here, but maybe he reacts and he says, what just happened? I've not touched you. I've never touched you. And he finds out that she's pregnant. And so what does he decide to do? Well, in their culture, it was a disgrace to marry someone that had already been with someone else and take part in that. So Joseph, being a great man, a godly man, says, I'm going to do it quietly. I'm going to break off our engagement quietly. But then an angel of the Lord shows up and says, hey, Joseph, Mary's pregnant through the Holy Spirit, so get over it. And you need to marry her, and I want you to marry her, and I want you to have this child, and I want you to name him Jesus. Now, here's the truth that I want you to get out of that. Even though Joseph had this pattern that he was going down, God changed his pattern, and Joseph and Mary obeyed. Do you get it? Do you see it? I mean, I don't know about you. That would have been hard to swallow, but Joseph did it. Even though Joseph and Mary had their pattern changed, they still followed God's lead. They didn't run their own pattern and say, heck no, I ain't marrying her. No, he said yes. He obeyed, and boy, am I glad that he did. You know why? Because Jesus was born, and we have a Savior that can get us to heaven. Can I get a little clappage on that? Come on. I know you guys want to go to sleep because it's cloudy outside, but don't go to sleep. You need to stay awake and listen to the rest of this. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to our lives, there are patterns that God has for us to run. And you say, well, what's our role? What's my role? Here's your role. You're to be the horse. Some of you guys are like, am I going to be a pony? Or am I going to be the quarter horse? Or am I going to be a Clydesdale? Some of you guys are like, dang, which horse would I want to be? Or which horse would my wife say that I am? Oh, she'd say, yeah, I'm a jack. Oh, what? No, we're talking about horses here. Number one, if you're going to fulfill your role, you have to be the horse. In a reining pattern, guess what? That horse is willing to do what he's asked to do. If you have an unwilling horse, that's the worst thing that you could be in, is in the reining. Because your horse is going to look like an idiot all out there by himself fighting you. And so you have to be willing. The horse has to be willing. And it's the same for us. We ought to be willing to follow God's pattern. Look at Romans 12:1. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will be that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. You get it? It's saying, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Give to him willingly and follow his cues. Now, here's one thing that I've noticed about good reining horses, or just good, you know, horses and in competition. The greatest winners have a great relationship between the horse and the rider. How many of you guys have a strained relationship with your horse? Some of you guys are like, dang, I want to shoot the stinking horse. Well, the greatest winners in a lot of events, and in every event, whether it's roping or, you know, ranch rodeo, they all have a great relationship. Again, Sean Flaherty, he's made almost $5 million. And he had a great relationship, and still does, with a sire called Wimpy's Little Step. Won a bunch of money on him and has won a bunch of money on his colts. And they had a great relationship. Another example is Tim McQuay. Tim McQuay rode Shining Spark, who Carol Rose raised as a colt. And Shining Spark is one of the newest $4 million sires out of his progeny. Listen, you think, well, no, all that stuff's a fluke. The guy just gets on that horse and they don't have any relationship. No, they have a great relationship. And because of that relationship, they win. Well, here's the point. The same is true for us. And you say, well, I thought we were the horse. You are the horse. Guess what? You're supposed to have a relationship with the rider as well. And you say, well, who's the rider? The rider is Jesus Christ. Actually, listen to this. There's two riders. They ride double. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know what that's saying? It's saying, if you'll follow me, you'll not walk in darkness, you'll walk in light. You know who they're asking us to follow? They're asking us to follow Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, how do I start that relationship with Jesus? Here's how you start it. You surrender. You give your life to him. And you say, well, how do I do that? I'll explain that when we get to the end of the message today. Here's the thing about reining. Here's another thing that I want you to notice. The horse doesn't know the pattern, but the rider does. The rider knows the pattern. And Jesus Christ, listen, when you give your life to him, he knows the pattern. And guess what? The Holy Spirit also knows the pattern, and the Holy Spirit can guide you through the patterns of life. Look at Proverbs 16:9. It says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. The Lord establishes their steps. And so Jesus guides us through his word. The Holy Spirit guides us on the inside. So here's number one, we're the horse. Number two, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit ride double. They're the riders. Number three is this. God is the judge. God is the judge. Now let's look back at Joseph. Joseph could have gone to all his people, and at first he did. He worried about what the culture would say about him marrying Mary, right? He worried about it. He thought, well, no, all these people are going to judge me. They're gonna say that I'm this. They're going to say that I'm that. They're going to say that she's this or that she's that, and so I'm going to break it off. But you know what he thought? He thought that the world was going to judge him. And the world does judge us unfairly or fairly, whatever it is. They do judge us. But here's the truth. God is the ultimate judge. The preacher's not the judge. Amen. The priest's not the judge. Amen. I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. God is the judge. Now you say, well, okay, what's he judging? Well, in the reigning, guess what? They judge on the way that that horse performs. Right? If the horse performs poorly, the reigning, that rider doesn't get a good score. Let me share with you a truth about our lives. Listen, in the reigning patterns of life, it's not about your performance. Some of us want to go to church. Again, we want to do our church thing. We want to go through the motions. We want to act like we're a Christian. We want to do all this stuff so that we can perform well, and then God will be pleased and he'll let me into heaven. That's not how it works. You know what the truth is about getting to heaven? You know what the one thing that you need to know? You need to know the rider. If you know the rider, which is Jesus Christ, then you're going to make it to heaven no matter how bad you are, no matter how good you are. And you say, well, Bo, so are you saying all I got to do is go through the motions and then I'm saved? No, listen, it comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. You can fake me out. You can fake everybody else out in here, but you can't fake out God. And if it's not real, then it ain't going to matter in the end. But it needs to be real. And so you say, well, okay, so God doesn't judge me for my salvation. What does he judge? Here's what he does judge. He judges our obedience or our disobedience. Here's the thing. I grew up and I was a little heathen. Anybody heathens growing up? Come on now. Be honest. I mean, we got in a little trouble. We threw some punches every now and then. Back in the day, you could fight and nobody pulled a gun. Remember those good days? I mean, we would meet out. We call it the road. It's where you light a fire, you know, and everybody would come out and we'd all rumble. Kids, don't listen to this story, okay? But here's what I learned, because we like to have a little fun, and we probably got in trouble more than we should. But here's what I learned. The more that I obeyed my parents, guess what? The more freedom I got. The more I disobeyed my parents, the less freedom I got. It's the same way with God. The more that you obey God, the more freedom he's going to give you. The freedom from the pain, the freedom from the anguish, the freedom from all the things that the devil tries to throw at you. He's not going to free you from all of them, but he'll free you from a whole heck of a lot more. And so you say, well, okay, so I'm supposed to be obedient? Absolutely. Here's what's dependent upon your obedience. Blessings. If you are obedient to Christ, he will bless your marriage. If you're obedient to Christ, he will bless your kids. Not to say that they're going to be perfect, not to say that your life's going to be peach cobbler, because it's not. Sometimes it's nasty. Life's not any good, and you don't want to swallow it. But listen, God promises that if you give your life to him, he will be there with you. Amen? And so listen, maybe some of you guys are like, you know, so God judges us. He does judge you. But he loves you unconditionally. And if you want his blessings, you'll choose his pattern. So number one, we're the horse. Number two, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are ride double. And number three, God is the judge. And then this is the last one and I'm done. Number four is this. God has the right to change the pattern. God has the right to change the pattern. Just like in a reigning pattern, in the prelims you run one pattern, and in the finals you typically run a different pattern. God has the right to choose a different pattern. Look at Proverbs 14:12. It says this, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death." You get it? There is a way that appears to be right to us, in our human eyes, but in the end, it's going to lead to death. But here's the thing. God wants to change our patterns sometimes, just like Joseph. I mean, he was going through this pattern. He had it all planned out. God changed the pattern. If he would have gone down his own pattern, guess what? It would have led to his death. And you say, what kind of death? Physical death? Sometimes. But what I'm talking about more importantly is spiritual death, emotional death. I mean, suffering, more pain. I mean, it all leads to that. And so here's the thing. Many times we think God has called us to be in pattern one, or we think that we're just going to do pattern one even though God hasn't called us to it, and then God changes the pattern. I want you to understand this. The pattern is God's choice. Now, here's what I want you to understand as well. Our pattern is typically not good. God's pattern is always perfect. You say, but oh, I thought this was God's pattern. No, pattern number one. I was going down pattern number one, and then all of a sudden I got on pattern number three. Listen, God's pattern number one is just as perfect as God's pattern number three. Do you get it? I mean, even though he changes the pattern sometimes, doesn't mean that it's any less perfect. We just got to follow the pattern. Again, you think, well, I'm going down the right pattern. No, listen, if your pattern is not God's pattern, it's the wrong pattern. And you need to allow God to change the pattern. Now, here's the last thing, and I'm going to close with this. In every reigning pattern, there are certain maneuvers. And in every pattern of life, there are certain maneuvers that we must perform. And I'm going to give you eight examples of these patterns. Number one, circles. Just like in the reigning pattern, you see those circles. In our lives, guess what? We need to circle our lives with prayer. Some of you guys are facing empty nests. Some of you guys are facing, you know, new babies. Some of you guys are, you know, facing, you know, getting old. Some of you guys are facing, you know, injuries or illnesses. Listen, you need to circle your life with the power of prayer. You need to circle your kids' lives with the power of prayer. That's the only thing that's going to protect them. When I would go out, I know this because my mom shared it with me later. When I would go out and I would go out on the town, my mom would get on her knees. Some of you parents need to do the same thing. No, my mom was a prophet. I'm kind of joking, but she was a prophet. Because a lot of times before I left, she'd go, Bo, don't speed. Those cops are waiting on you. And guess what happened? I'd get pulled over and I'd be like, you're right. You're a prophet. Listen. Some of you guys need to pray you need to pray for your kids. You need to pray for yourself. You need to pray for your marriage. Here's what else you need to do. You need to perform flying lead changes. You think you're going in this circle and you think you're going in the right direction. God says, I want you to change direction. You flying lead change. You need to be flexible. You need to say, whatever you want for my life, God, that's what I want to do. You've given me a business. Whatever you want to do with this business, I give it to you because you've given it to me. You want to change the pattern? You want me to change jobs? You want me to do this? I'm going to be flexible. I'm going to perform that flying lead change. Here's the other thing. To do that, to know God's pattern, you got to do the rundown to God. You got to run toward God. And here's the next thing. Once temptation comes, you got to stop. You got to perform that stop. And then when that temptation rears its ugly head, you may need to back up from that temptation, and you need to maybe hesitate and wait on the Lord to provide a way out. And so here's the last thing. Some of you guys, you've gone toward the temptation because you're a heathen like I am, and you've embraced the temptation and you're sinning. Some of you need to perform the rollback of repentance. As you're running down that arena and you're running to a stop, guess what happens? You slide to a stop, you get to the stop, and then they perform what they call a rollback. And it's where you turn 180 degrees and you turn and you trot off or you lope off right back into the same tracks that you came down on. Some of you need to perform the rollback of repentance. Some of you guys are running toward sin and you're doing things your own way. You're not following God. And some of you guys need to turn around. You need to roll back. And you need to say, I repent, I turn from my sins, and I want to begin to please you. So here's my question. Are you performing those maneuvers for the Lord? Is that a part of your pattern of life? I hope that it is. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Here's my first question. And this is the most important question that I could ever ask anybody. Do you know the rider? Again, it's not about knowing everything about the church. It's not about joining any church. It's not about filling out a card. It's not about walking the aisle. It's not about, you know, getting baptized. It's not about any of those things. It's about surrendering your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. And you say, Bo, I don't understand that. Let me give you a simple instruction. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Let me stop right there. And you know what that's saying? You claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You surrender your life to Him. You ask Him to forgive you of your sin and to save you and give you eternal life. That's what it means to confess. The second part of that is if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart. Believe it in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Then you will be saved. See, there's a lot of people that go to hell by about 18 inches because they have it in their head, but that distance between their head and their heart is not the same. Or it is the same, but they don't have it in their heart. Some of you guys may be here today and you grew up in church, you know all the answers, but you don't have that personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus. My challenge to you is accept Him into your heart. Don't just give lip service. Don't just, you know, go through the motions, but give Him your life and make it personal. And so maybe that's you. Maybe you just need to pray right now in your seat. God, I want to go from being a horse on my own to knowing the rider. I want to go from running my own pattern to running your pattern. And I want you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart. I want that personal relationship with God. Because I realize that all my works are never going to get me into heaven. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer, that is the beginning of a personal relationship with Jesus. And I praise God that you are bold enough and gutsy enough to do it. Now here's the thing. If you just prayed that prayer, that's the beginning, not the end. We desire to come alongside of you and help you. If you don't have a Bible, if you need just instruction on how to grow in your faith, to do what's right, to learn His Word, maybe you have a Bible you don't understand. Listen, we will get you a Bible that you can understand. And so here's what we ask you to do. Grab an orange sheet on the guest table, fill it out, place it in the offering bucket on the same table, and we will contact you and we will help you grow in your new relationship with Jesus. Here's what else. Here's another method that we use that if you have a phone, an iPhone, or just any kind of phone that you can text, we ask you to text your name. That's it. Just text your name to the number that's going to be on the screen at the end of the service, and we will contact you. It's that simple. Now listen, the first act of obedience, once you've given your life to Jesus, is letting someone know. It's saying, okay, God, I'm not going to be ashamed of this, and I'm going to ask for help. I'm not going to be prideful. I'm going to say I need help, and I want to grow because I have my new personal relationship with you. And so please text your name. Please fill out that orange sheet so that we can celebrate with you. Some of you guys are here, and you're thinking, you know, when God changes my pattern, I fall apart. Listen, some of you guys need to hear the verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Just trust in Him. If He's changing the patterns in your life right now, just trust in Him. If He's done something or He's allowed something to happen in your life that is a tragedy, just trust in Him. He is faithful to the end. Some of you parents, you need to change your pattern because your kids are watching you and they're going to go down the same pattern. Some of you teenagers and some of you children, you need to listen to your parents because God has put them in your life to help you run the right pattern. And so I challenge you to honor your parents and honor God at the same time. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. Again, if you have questions, feel free to just come visit with me as soon as church is over, and we would love to visit with you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you have shown us the patterns of life in your word. I thank you that Joseph and Mary give us a great example on how to be obedient when the patterns of life change. And Lord, help us to be obedient as well. Lord, thank you for each person that's obedient in this place and for those that aren't. I thank you that we're all sinners, that we've all fallen short. None of us are perfect, but some of us are running passionately toward you, and some of us need to perform that rollback. And so, Lord, thank you for our relationship. Thank you for giving us eternal life, and we give you all the glory. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here. Again, we want to thank you for listening to this message, and if you have questions, please contact us. We would love to visit with you. Again, ThousandHillsRanchChurch@yahoo.com, or you can contact us by phone, 580-216-6427, and may God bless the ride you're on.